Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Tyke. The English countryside might seem like an alluring, bucolic place for a getaway, and that is probably true in modern times, but in the England of the late 19th century, small rural English villages were hardscrabble places full of superstition and often illness. And that is the England of Alex Grecian's new novel, The Black Country. It's Grecian's dark second mystery featuring Scotland Yard's murder squad and detectives Walter Day and Neville Hammersmith. Grecian was in Milwaukee recently to talk about his latest effort, and he joined us in the studio. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
What is it about your setting that attracts you? Why and why write period mysteries rather than plots that play out in contemporary settings?
Nobody was very interested in reading my contemporary books, so I went with historical. And I think the Victorian era especially is familiar to us, but it's still kind of alien too, because obviously they're doing the same things that we do. But in a lot of cases, they're doing those things in much different ways than we do, and that's interesting, and we can learn a little bit.
Do you have to go through kind of an exercise in taking like modern day do you run things through almost a translation filter? You know, this is how this mystery might play out today. Now, how can I make it play out in Victorian England?
That's interesting. I kind of do, but I do so much research before I start writing the book that I'm pretty well steeped in that. So I write it as if I were writing it then. But the first book I actually wrote, The Yard, in a modern slang kind of way, and I thought I would – I was just experimenting with it, with modern language in Victorian England. And then when I was done, it sounded too gimmicky, so I just cleaned it all up and got rid of the modern stuff.
Well, but at the same time, what strikes me in reading this is even though it is set somewhere else in an earlier time, it doesn't necessarily – it doesn't feel dated, first of all, and it doesn't feel – difficult to read. It doesn't necessarily play itself out in a Victorian way.
I'm very much writing modern thrillers set in Victorian England. So that's my whole goal, really.
Do you feel in doing that, is there greater freedom for you, or is it confining to have to hew to the historically authentic line?
It's kind of interesting. It's a little of both. If I were writing contemporary mysteries, I would always have to figure out how the hero could lose his cell phone or, you know, why it would take him a day to get to the city next to his. Here, there are enough constraints that the mystery can actually be more mysterious and take longer to solve and fill up a whole novel.
You live in Kansas, correct?
I do, yes.
Is there a trick to you in being able to sit in your writing studio or your office or your coffee shop or wherever it is that you write in Kansas and be able to so convincingly channel the British Midlands? I mean, are you there when you're writing there?
I actually write in a period phone booth. That's – no, I don't. no, it is interesting. I do have a gigantic map of Victorian London right behind my chair that fills the entire office wall. So, and I have dry erase markers so I can mark out where I am at any moment and where my characters need to be. So it really kind of does feel like I'm there except for the Mac I'm writing on.
Well, and another thing that struck me is that it's very easy, you know, as we're following the action in one part of this story, it's easy to imagine that the rest of this town is existing even though we're not watching it or reading it as it plays out. You know, I think it's easy to imagine parallel stuff going on even as we read what you're writing about.
Yeah, it's I'm writing about normal people who just happen to be stuck in the past. So I, with the dialogue especially, I try to write it pretty much the way modern people talk, just not quite so obvious.
And do I understand correctly you have not yet been to England?
Oi. No, I haven't. And at this point, it's a little more embarrassing than it is a talking point. But I'm going in July. I'm spending the entire month of July researching the next book in London. So the next book will be much more authentic.
Well, I wonder, are you afraid of going there and finding out that, oh my God, I've gotten this all wrong all this time?
Very much. I'm afraid they'll throw things at me, actually.
People don't really say governor. How long have Neville Hammersmith and Walter Day been with you?
Really, they're both, well, Day is me, pretty much, and Kingsley is me, pretty much, the other half of me. Hammersmith, though, is sort of Bruce Willis, in, but in Victorian England. So he's very much a modern American action hero who gets his shirt ripped off and gets bloodied up in every book, and that's funny for me.
Chicks dig him.
My wife has a huge crush on him. For the second book, she was telling me what I could and couldn't do with him, and you know, I can't kill him, apparently.
Although, and we're, you know, the mystery novels are tough because we don't want to give anything away.
But ooh, spoiler.
You come close in a couple of places.
He's got a rough road there, yeah.
And again, I don't think this is ruining anything. As this book goes on, Walter Day this book takes place in Blackhampton as opposed to London, where the Yard takes place. But London is very much on the mind of Walter Day, who is expecting his first child. Was that a situation – were you yourself going through that?
Oh, not this time around.
Okay.
But in the first book, The Yard, there's a little boy who's kidnapped, and I use children a lot in both books because they scare me, because I do have a son and he's right about the same age as the kidnapped boy in the first book. And so I tried to build suspense by throwing in the things that frighten me. So hopefully they frighten other people.
As we say, this takes place in Blackhampton, which, as you have portrayed it, is not what you would call a quaint, picturesque sort of place. What makes this place tick?
Well, it's I made up Blackhampton, but it's sort of an amalgamation of real black country places. And I tried to pinpoint, you know, what set that apart from London, because I wanted this to have a creepier vibe. So I may have gone overboard in just picking the creepy things in the black country, but they are all authentic. The children's rhymes are authentic in it. The superstitions are authentic. And the most implausible thing in the whole book is the houses and businesses sinking into the mines. And that sounds like something I made up, but I didn't. That's really what was happening.
It also has a beautiful metaphorical quality to it as
Thank
well.
Thank you. Yes. That was why I chose that. But reading the diaries of housewives who lived in the actual black country back then, they were always having to take off and go help a neighbor dig out his or her front door because that house had fallen 2 feet into the tunnels.
And there are several points in this book that people are literally shaken up by being inside a structure that is settling into the mines.
Right. And really, this book is about secrets and the responsibilities, and the secrets that these people have been harboring are undermining them. So it is very symbolic.
What lies beneath? Well, and there's also this undercurrent of social justice in this. Things like, you know, child labor in the mines and also the thing that is sickening people, you know, the sort of lack of fresh water quality.
Yeah, it's almost a plague there. And really, it's all about the clash of science versus superstition, because in that time period, people were fascinated by science and science was becoming more and more important, but they still clung to their old superstitions. And so I think it was probably a very rocky time to try to get used to the world.
Well, and I would imagine this is kind of the real rub in terms of the town appreciates the help of Neville, you know, of Hammersmith and Day, but they also don't. There's a realization that London represents something else.
Right. No good deed goes unpunished.
You have also worked in graphic fiction in the past, correct?
Yes.
How is it for you to go from that form where there is a literal image to support the story to one in which the image has to exist in your head and in the reader's head?
Honestly, it's so much easier. there's a weird rhythm when you're writing comic books or graphic novels. You have to stop and start constantly because you have to describe for the artist what to draw in every single panel. And then, you know, write down the dialogue and then move on. You have to stop the dialogue then and move on and write the next panel's description so that the artist can get it all down the way you see it in your head. So with a novel, though, I can throw two people in a room and have them talk for pages and pages and pages, and I'm fine. I don't have to stop. I don't have to describe anything for the artist. And I also don't have to change anything because the artist drew something I didn't intend, which can be really interesting, but it's more freeing for me to write a novel.
Is it ever difficult for you to exist in this dark world where bad stuff not only happens but is supposed to happen? I mean, for there to be a mystery, something bad has to play out. And also to have the positive outlook that is necessarily a part of being a parent?
Wow. Well, a happy character isn't a very interesting character. So that's one of the hardships of writing. You create these people that you care about, and then you have to put them through the ringer in order to make them interesting for other people. So it's a little tough, but I suppose I probably don't believe in happy endings anyway. I try to give them some kind of closure at the end of each book so that the people who live through the book are at least not completely dour and down. But yeah, it's not a pretty thing. I write about murder. So
the dedication to the book, I thought, was wonderful.
Yeah, my son is 9 right now, so he can't read this for quite a while. Yeah. He already has nightmares.
Do you feel like – I mean, you have these two characters that inhabit the yard and they inhabit the black country. And I would imagine, are they going to inhabit the next book?
They are. I'm writing that right now. Hopefully I'm finished by the time I get back from London. But yeah, people seem to have responded to these two characters. When I started this, it was going to be a revolving set of characters, and each book would focus on a different detective, a different constable, whoever. And I introduced a whole murder squad in the first book. But then when it came time to write the second one, I didn't really want to move on from Day and Hammersmith, so they made it into the second book and the third.
Do you in your mind, feel like you have to make each individual book distinct?
Yeah, I don't really have to fight against it so much because I don't know what I'm doing. So I sort of start over with each book and I don't outline. So I hit the ground running and hope that by the end of the book I have something worth reading.
Well, this one was definitely worth reading. Alex Grecian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Alex Grecian's latest novel is called The Black Country. It's the follow-up to his first murder mystery called The Yard. We spoke with him while he was in town recently for events at Mystery One Bookstore and Boswell Book Company. There's a link to an excerpt from The Black Country from WUWM.com.